So let's worship the Lord.
I can't. your own song to the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord.
Spirit of the living God, come.
fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep and blow through the caverns of my soul, pouring me to overflow. Overflow.
To all you have for us. Everything you have for us, our hearts are open to you, Father. Thank you for teaching us how to love. Thank you for loving us so much in spite of who we are. We say yes.
First John 4:9 says, for we know how to love because he first loved us, and he sent his son as an offering for our sin. And God, we just thank you this morning that you first loved us, that you have brought us to a place of repentance, Lord, that you've brought our hearts to one with you, God, and that oneness is all that we crave today. So we just pray that you would come fill this place this morning. So let's sing that again.
Come and fill this place. Let your glory now invade.
The glory's fallen today.
Yeah.
Yes, Spirit, come.
Of my soul, pouring me to overflow. Yes, Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep. Wake me up, blow through caverns of my soul, pouring me to
one voice singing hallelujah. to our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. Sing that part again.
You walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and
Nothing matters more than just to stay here at your feet and worship you. We worship you.
Live without you, Jesus.
no place I would rather be. I'm here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. I'm here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. I'm here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. I'm here in your love, here in your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I think the theme this morning is more of Him and less of us. Dead come into life. That's what you do to us, God. You don't just make us into good people. You make us alive. You are our breath. You are the wind in our lungs. You are the blood in our bodies, God. Let us flow in sync with you.
All the words to the songs keep saying, more of you, Lord. I want more of you. And there is just a spirit of healing that is flowing in this room. But the healing has to come from us asking the Father. I'm seeing and sensing the Lord is just walking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And there's rows and rows and rows of walls. Some are cardboard. Some are cement, brick, stone. And there's broken people on the other side. And most of them are women. And as a woman, I know how sensitive we are. And what I hear the Lord saying is, I will not knock down the walls unless you ask me to. They're walls of disappointment, walls with envy, walls of anger, disappointment, jealousy, and even rage. And the Lord wants that all replaced with love. Just saturated with His love and His mercy. because that's where healing is, in the arms of the Father, where he pours out grace and grace and grace and love. And so in the relationships that are struggling, and the Lord knows them, he's asking for us to come to him and give him permission to knock down all the walls and let him replace them with his healing and his love. And so, Lord Jesus, I say, for me, Lord, knock down any wall that's standing between me and my Father God. Any relationship, Lord God, that is not of you, change it, Lord, or remove it. Because I am the daughter of a king, and I am walking in his mercy and his love. And that's what he wants for all of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Break out, heaven come down, Spirit break out, break our walls down, Spirit break out. Break our walls down, Spirit, break out, heaven come down,
our
Father, all of heaven roars your name, sing louder, let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Spirit break out. Spirit break out. Oh, break our walls down. Spirit break out. Heaven come down.
Spirit.
Spirit break out. Spirit, break out.
voice erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth.
Have walls in our lives. Everybody. We put them up to protect us. We build them because of hurt, because of whatever it is that happened, there's this barrier that goes up. And it separates us to an extent from the love of the Father. Because like Barb said, we tear those walls down. We put them up, we tear them down. As Glenn just plays, I just want us to... There's a song that says, when you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. And when we say the name of Jesus, we're going to just start tearing those walls down in our lives. Because sometimes those walls have been up for so long, and they're just so hard to take down. We don't even know where to start. So I'm going to start saying the name of Jesus, and I'm going to give him my walls, and they're going to just start disintegrating into gravel. And you're going to say Jesus, and your walls are going to start disintegrating into gravel. You know, when they walked around, can you turn this down just a little bit? When they walked around the walls of Jericho, and they walked 7 times not saying a word, and on that 7th time, they shouted, and they shouted with all they could, and those walls disappeared. Now, these aren't just like a wall like this. I mean, this is a stinking, this is like a wall, a fortified city that you couldn't take down with a rocket launcher or whatever. And the Lord disintegrated those walls. Disintegrated them. How bad do you want your walls to go away? Because I want my walls to go away really bad. Sucks. Because, sorry if I said that. Because they've been protecting that area for so long, and it's going to hurt. It's not going to feel good sometimes. But we're putting it in the hands of the King. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus, oh Jesus.
Jesus, break out. Break our walls down. Jesus, break out. Heaven, come down.
When we say his name, heaven does come down.
Jesus, break out. Break our walls down. Jesus, break out. Heaven, come down. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth.
Our Father, all of heaven rose your name. Let this place erupt with praise.
Can you hear?
Sound of heaven touching earth.
Let it touch us, God, today.
Sound of heaven touching earth.
Our Father,
all of heaven roars your name.
Sing louder.
Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? Sound of heaven touching earth. Heaven touching earth.
Son of heaven touching earth.
Hallelujah. 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 I think it was no accident, no coincidence. It wasn't just by chance that Barb gave that very, very detailed illustration of the different walls in people's lives. Walls of separation. And all the different characteristics that built those walls. Some were cardboard, some were stone, some were steel, I believe. Some of them seem impenetrable. But I tell you what, they're not for Jesus. What seems impossible for man, what seems like it would never happen, what we always view as our reality, doesn't have to be our reality. Not in God. Then praise the Lord for Holy Spirit's guidance and direction and leading of this song, Spirit Break Out. Break our walls down. Immediately following the word. I always look at that for a confirmation saying that God is really wanting to do something. That it's not just man's idea, that it's not just a good idea, but God really wants to accomplish something in our lives here today. He wants to all the time. There's certain characteristics, certain type of distinctions that he makes in our services. And today, he wants to break down walls. He wants walls to not exist. And what do walls separate us from? His love. And, you know, we sing that song that you set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. There's no place we'd rather be than here in his love. Man, we are in his love. His love surrounds us. His love's within us. It's why we're alive today. It's why we're breathing. It's why we're able to come here. Even if we were dragged here on a cot, spiritually speaking, his love enabled us to do that. And I just want you to know that it's only a false impression when you're holding on to those pains and those hurts, those things from the past. It's a false impression of what your life's really like. And if you release them, the reality of his love that's already there will become evident. So many of us think that when we're separated from his love, that his love isn't in our lives. That's not true. It's his love that drew you to him when you were your most evil, sinning self before you even knew him. His love chased after you and brought you to himself, revealed himself to you when you weren't even looking for him. So don't believe the lie of the enemy right now that says, oh, I'm separated from his love. Only thing that's keeping you from experiencing his love is the choices that you make to hold on to things that keep you from being able to perceive and know that his love is there. So whatever those things were that related to your heart today, that Barb was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, just release them. Whether that's right now, just saying, Jesus, if you haven't said it yet, or just saying, Lord, I release the rage to you. I release the anger to you. I release the resentment to you. I release the bitterness to you. I release my unforgiveness to you. Whatever label is holding you from fully knowing the love of God, then release it today. Maybe it's going to take going home and sitting there and letting what's been said today rehearse in your heart. But the power is there to release it then. Maybe it's going to be as you lay on your bed tonight. And you say, Lord, you've been speaking to me all day. I release this to you. It doesn't have to be now. Don't believe that lie that it has to be now. And God, we're timeless. So you can release it a week from now, but the sooner you release it, the sooner you're going to be able to experience his love. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Lord. We just release, God, your people right now for full obedience to the word. Full obedience right now in Jesus' name. I release those, Lord, who have been bound with just the lies of the enemy. We just speak truth, illumination, and empowerment to be able to do what you've called them to do. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow, thank you, team. Great job today. Amen. Let's give it up for him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Well, would the children please come up? Good morning. Good morning. Lexi, you're the only one up here. She's not noticing. Good morning. Hi, how you doing? You put the mail in there? Good. All right. Good job. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just extend our hands towards God's children that he's given us care for as their parents, but they're truly his. Father, we thank you for your children. We thank you, God, for your kids. Now, Lord, you so desire to have the kids come to you and know you fully. Lord, we just pray right now, God, that the reality of who they are at this time, in this day, Lord, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that dwells in them, that would become evident in their lives. That, Lord, that they would be used by you for your glory, not when they grow up only, but, Lord, today in these days, Lord, at school, at home, with their friends, God, when they're playing, God, let your Spirit, Holy Spirit, speak to them in such a way that they know you fully as you've desired them to. In Jesus' mighty name, let them be blessed today as they receive instruction and guidance in being your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Okay, we have a... are you going to do it? I'll do it. We have a sign-up sheet that's going to go around. We're going to have a memorial service here on Tuesday for Chanel and Heather. They lost their grandfather. And so if you would be able to prepare a dish and bring it to the church, what time? Probably around 11:30, 11:30, 10? 10, 11. Okay. Michelle, you're going to be here, right, to receive these. So she'll be downstairs to receive the dishes. Anything you can do would be greatly appreciated to bless the family. There we go. Praise the Lord. Just pass that all the way around. How's everyone doing today? I see some Hawk jerseys. Just a few. Does anybody know what today is? Sunday, yeah. This is the day that the Seahawks are going to beat the 49ers, okay? Oh, are there 49er fans here? Excuse me. Oh, my goodness, sorry. I'm so sorry that they're going to lose. Wow. I'm here to pray for you. Tim was actually saying, Dad, I'm going to root for the 49ers just so that there's somebody else in the room that's against you. Great, thanks. Where's Tim? He's going, why'd you say that? Well, we are going to be blessed today with a special speaker. And this is just by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is. It's because it's, you're special. Honey, you're very special to me. So she's like, come on. If you can't love your wife with gushy love, who can you love with gushy love? The Lord, maybe, right? But honey, why don't you come on up? It was funny because, yeah, amen. I was preparing this morning, and I've had something on my heart, but I just didn't get, like, the burn. You know, sometimes I get a burn that the word's going to be there. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord's just going to give me something, you know, and it's just going to, you know, just happen. And which it does sometimes. But she goes, so do you have the word this morning? I said, no, do you? And she goes, no. And so I said, oh, okay, well, I've been trying to get somebody to preach. So nobody wants to preach. And so I don't know if that, like, inspired her, if the Holy Spirit started burning in her. She'll probably share. But, Father, I just pray right now, Lord, for this mighty woman of God, Lord. And, God, we know that she gets just golden nuggets from you. So, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive today, Lord, the word that you have placed within her. Let her speak, Lord, as your oracle, Lord, as if you were speaking to us. And, Lord, let us take it, Lord, and run with it, Lord, not just hear it and just say, oh, that was good. But, Lord, let us be such doers of the word that we hear today. Let us live it out. Let your word become flesh in us. In Jesus' mighty name, bless this woman of God, my lovely wife. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Woo! Thanks, babe. So I don't even know how today's going to go because I normally don't do this. He tells me weeks in advance, and I know so. But I just feel one word burning in my heart, and I know I have to be obedient to that word. So the other day, I was on Facebook. Don't judge me. But I was on Facebook, and I saw this cute little clip of this little girl who was in the back seat, and her dad was in the front seat, and he had his camera on, and she was trying to clip herself into her car seat. And I can't remember exactly what she would say to him, but he would say, do you want me to come help you or something like that? And she would say something to the effect, mind your own business. But not, she didn't say that, but that's what she was meaning to her dad. And but he kept rolling the camera or, you know, filming her. And she kept trying to do it, but he would keep asking the question. She would keep saying the same thing, so she was trying to buckle it in the wrong place. And so what she was doing actually is that she was compromising getting it right to have her own way. She didn't want Daddy to help her do it, but it was really cute how she did it. So I started thinking about that little clip that I saw, and then I saw the word compromise this morning, and I noticed that in the word compromise is the word promise. And it hit me like that. Yes, ooh, it did. And so that started burning in me, and this was after his first, you know, do you have something? He said, no, do you? No. But that was after that I saw that word compromise. And so I started, you know, just really mulling over that word. Now, when we became, we became the pastors of the church like 4-something years ago, the Lord gave me a word for my husband like exactly 1 month after in it, and the word was just no compromise. Compromise has actually 2 definitions. One can be a positive definition, and one can be a negative definition. And the word that the Lord gave me with the no compromise was not compromising what he's telling us to do. That when God speaks to him, that he's not going to compromise that. Because we have to believe that God speaks to the shepherd of this house, and he is going to deliver the word of God to us, right? So any time that things would be a little bit hard, I would lean over to him when, you know, we'd be worshiping and knowing that something's really brewing, and I would say, no compromise, and he would say, no compromise. So we've reminded each other of that over the last 4-some-odd years. So this morning, as the Lord started giving me this word, I started thinking about it. So I decided to look up the word compromise, and it actually, there's 2 definitions of the word compromise in the negative connotation, and the first is to make concessions, and the second one is to weaken by accepting standards lower than desirable. And that's the one that really spoke to me when I read it, because a lot of times when we are told something by God, it's hard for us to see ourselves the way he sees us doing what he tells us we can do. Do you know what I'm saying by that? Like if he gives us something to do, let's just say, for instance, you're in the grocery store and you're really out of time, but you notice this person and they are just exuding hurt and pain. And you know, because you feel your heart beating and you're wondering, oh no, should I say something? Should I not? By going by and not saying something, you're compromising what God's giving you that you really should be doing, and that is even speaking a word of encouragement. And sometimes that's easier, I think, to do to a person you don't know because you may never see them again and it's, you know, you're good. But really, it could actually mean they could be waiting on that word. I remember a story about a young man that was in high school, and he had gone through 4 years, and it was getting close to graduation, and he was walking home one day, and it was like, you know, just a year or two into high school, and he was carrying a backpack on his back, and it was really big, and it looked really heavy, and so this guy across the street that was also one of his classmates noticed him, and he walked over to him, and he said, hey, dude, you know, your backpack looks really, really heavy. What are you carrying in there, bricks? And he's like, no, I just decided to, you know, put my books in here. So books from school, all of them, and they were in his backpack. And so this guy that came across the street, he was a guy that was like a football star, but this kid that's carrying this backpack, he's like the nerdiest of nerds. You know what I mean? But this football player makes the effort to go across the street, speak to this nerdy kid, and actually befriend him that day. And so they go through high school actually being the best of friends. They were so close, and they just enjoyed each other even though they had nothing in common. And the last day of school, they're getting ready to graduate, and the nerdy guy has become like so smart, like he's the smartest guy in the school, and they asked him to do the valedictorian thing, yeah. And so he's up there, and he begins to speak, and he says, It was a little over 2 years ago, and I was on my way home from school, and I was carrying my backpack, and I had all my books in my backpack. And he said, and I knew when I got home that I had planned to commit suicide. I had a note in my backpack, and I was ready just to be done because I had no friends, I had no life, and life was just rough. But then a guy crossed the street. And that was his best friend. And so he goes on and tells the story. But what I'm saying to you is this, if that guy had compromised and just looked over and said, you know, nerdy kid, big deal, you know, and continued to walk on, life as he knew it and life as that young man knew it would be changed forever. He didn't compromise. And so what I'm going to ask you today is this one question. What has God promised you? What has he promised you? Well, obviously, he's promised to all of us that when we're lonely, he would never leave us or forsake us. He has promised to us that when we're sick, he would heal us. He has promised to us when we grieve that he will comfort us. Here's so many Bible scriptures that we have that we can hold on to and latch on to that is a promise. And when we compromise that promise that he gives us, does that mean his promise is null and void? I don't believe so at all. I was reading the other day, and I read a devotion that was talking about God in our lives is like a great big roadmap. He knows detours. He knows shortcuts. He knows all of the little things that can get us to where we're supposed to go if we'll let him. And so if his plan A for us, let's say his plan A is, you know, something. If his plan A for us, we deny. We say, no, you know, that's not going to happen. That's, you know, I'm not good enough. I can't accept that. God's plan B becomes the new plan A. He will detour, or he will, you know, the GPS where it says when you're supposed to in 1.4 miles, take exit such and such, and then you go past 1.4 mile, but you forgot the exit. And she says, rerouting. That's what God does for us. He reroutes. Even though we missed it, he reroutes us. So what is your promise? What has God promised you? What is he saying for your life? Some of us have calls on our lives that are, without regret. He doesn't regret calling us, but we regret it because we didn't take him up on it. But he can reroute that promise for us. He can go a different direction and go a different route and get us still back to where he wanted us to be. In Genesis, it's like Genesis 16 to like 21 is the story of Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael. And God's already promised Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. And Sarah already knows about the promise, but she gets very impatient with God because his timing is not quite what her timing is thinking it should be. So what does she do? She goes and gets her maidservant, Hagar, to sleep with her husband so that he will have a child that will carry on the line that God promised him. She compromised the promise. But that didn't change the fact that Abraham was a father of many. Many, many, many. So many, you couldn't even count them in the stars or the grains of sand. Even though she compromised the promise was still there. The promise is still there for us. Amen? Promise actually means an assurance that someone will definitely do and declare that something will happen. God has definitely done or declared something in every one of our lives. He's declared it. Do we receive it as a declaration, or do we say to ourselves, I think I'm hearing things, or no, that wasn't God, or, you know, we excuse away because he can't possibly be meaning me. He can't mean that promise about me. I mean, I'm a gal who's suffered abuse as a child and come from a family of alcoholics and been poor and been divorced. He's not talking about me. Well, yeah, He is. He's talking about me. And he has that promise for each one of us. He has something for each one of us to do. Are all of us going to stand here? Maybe not. But maybe. But your neighbor is someone you can touch. And if I don't know your address, I can't. Your coworker where you work, I don't know where you all work, but they may need something. I can't give it to them because I don't know where you work. But you do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't think that what he's told you you're going to do and be for him is no longer because you've changed it around some because you didn't do what he asked you to do the first time. His call is without repentance, it says, and that means regret. He doesn't regret it one bit. But we compromise. I'm too old. I'm too hurt. I'm a basket case. I'm this. I'm that. I have too many kids. I don't have any kids. I mean, do you understand? We put things in there. But God has something for each one of us. With Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael, they made that whole thing into like a three-ring circus. It was like, she called her over here so she could be with him, and then they had him, but now we have him. And I mean, it was like if you didn't know the story, you'd be like really confused about the story because there was just so many little things that happened. But the whole thing about it is God's grace reached down into Abraham and Sarah's life and made us. And we're not plan Z, we're A. We're his kids. And God fixed what they tried to think and that they were going to fix by compromising. God fixed it all up. We're good. We're there. It's us. Do you know what I'm saying? I'd like us to turn to Proverbs 25:26, and I'm actually going to read this in the New Living Translation. I really like the way that this scripture reads, so Isaiah 25. Oh, Proverbs, sorry. I went to the wrong place and then I said Isaiah. It's Proverbs 25:26. It says, if the godly, that would be us, if the godly give in to the wicked, it's like polluting a fountain or muddying a spring. Is that right? Hold on, sorry. I got ahead of myself just a second. Sorry, guys, I'm trying to find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. If the godly compromise with the wicked, it is like polluting a fountain or muddying a spring. I had the wrong version. But it says if we compromise with the wicked. And the wicked is really, you guys, honestly, it's not like this witch thingy, you know, like you think the wicked witch or something. Like, it's not that. It's just anything that's not godly. So if we compromise with the wicked, it's like polluting a fountain or muddying a spring. And who wants to drink water out of that? Who needs that? Who needs to get that as in their body? I mean, that would just be not right. I mean, I if I'm really, really thirsty, but I go to a spring and it's full of mud and seaweed and green and all that, I'm not drinking that water. I may be thirsty, but I'm not that thirsty. But if we compromise, that's what we're doing. We're muddying his promise in our life. We're muddying his call on our life. Now, the enemy's trick and his plan is to make that so and to make it appear that it's good. So he may perfume that water and he may color that water where we can't tell it's all muddy, but you still drink it and it's still going to taste pretty disgusting. But that's what he does is, and I want you to remember this, excuse me, is that the enemy, he cannot create anything. God is the only creator, but he can make it appear as if he did. He imitates. He doesn't create. So he can imitate that water, that spring, and make it look like it's a fresh spring and get you to drink from it, even though it's nasty and gnarly. And then all of a sudden you're in there and you recognize that it's nasty. I mean, he knows he's got you hooked. But he will imitate God every time. And I believe that he did that with Sarah. When Sarah was so anxious to make it all work that she put her plan, I believe that that was the enemy trying to obviously thwart God's plan for all humanity, for all mankind. That's what the enemy is trying to do. And that's what he tries to do in our lives on a day-to-day basis. So, what's your promise today? I just want everybody just to think, because if you've been a Christian for a long time, it may be something that was given to you years and years and years ago. If you've not been a Christian for very long, but God's already told you, you know, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. There are some young people in here right now that I know, Ava, that God has a plan for your life, honey. And it's not just to survive. You have a call in your life to speak to thousands of youth, not just one or two. Same thing with Moses and Gina, with Katie. Kate, you're the same way, babe. So don't compromise what God's given you. And he may give it to you as a young person, but don't compromise that. If it's not for you right now, hold on to it, revisit it once in a while, but God will make it come to pass. Amen? Because he's good like that. There are several women here in this auditorium that have been healed from cancer. And the one thing that I want to say about that is you have a testimony that needs to be spoken. People need to hear about healing, because a lot of people think that healing is a pastime of God's. And that just is a lie. That is not true. And so I'm just going to encourage you that if that's you, you have something to give to others. And healing is huge, because there's a lot of sick people, whether it be in body or in spirit, that live in this United States. Amen? Okay, let's go to Psalm 119. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Psalm 119, 1. Happy are people of integrity who follow the law of the Lord. Happy are those who obey his decrees and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only on his paths. If you are looking at your life today and you recognize all of a sudden the path is definitely not the path of God, it's not too late. Get over on that path. That's all it takes. It's just turning around and going to the place that you know you need to be. God's grace is sufficient for us. His plan is yes and amen in our lives. He desires for each one of us to do what he's called us to do. And it's in many shades, many different colors. It's so many things. There's so many things that we need to have fulfilled in our lives that the enemy has tried to actually rob the promise from us. Don't compromise. Amen.
Amen. Don't compromise. That's easier said than done. It really is. It means sometimes making difficult choices. I know Pastor Gay was sharing when she was saying at the very beginning that that's one thing the Lord has put on my heart. Sometimes for me not to compromise means me doing things that I feel out of my comfort zone. I feel like, what do I have any business doing this at all? But the Lord's put a word on my heart or asked me to do something. And when I've been obedient and followed through with it, wow, praise the Lord. The results are amazing. Now, just because the Lord's asked me not to compromise doesn't mean I haven't done that. There are times that I'll be in the middle of something and I'll realize, oh my goodness, I'm compromising. And I never even thought of that. I mean, just think of that from now on, that you're kind of, in a way, cutting off the promise. I don't know exactly how that all plays together. Calm, promise. I mean, I'm going to go look that up now. But to me, remember, when you're compromising, the promise that God has for you is in jeopardy for the time. Doesn't mean that he can't come through and repair the damage, because he can. I guess you can say exhibit A when it comes to that. You know, he can turn around the years that the locust has eaten, even if you let the locust into your field yourself. But why have that happen? So when I'm in the middle and I realize I'm compromised, I say, Father, forgive me. You know what? I repent. And now I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And even though sometimes some damage may be done, the sooner I change direction, the sooner I get on that path that Pastor Gabe is talking about, things come into order. And it seems like the potential damage is reduced, how much it does. So praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that your promises are yes and amen to us. And Lord, we ask right now, Lord, if there's compromise in our heart, Lord, if there's compromise in our lives, Lord, if those that were had the Holy Spirit pointing to them today, Lord, about the walls and stuff, if those represent compromises, Lord, I pray that you would help us to move beyond, Lord, where we're at right now. Lord, that you would give us the strength and the encouragement and Lord, just the confidence to say yes to what is right, to do what is right, even though it may put us in an uncomfortable position, even though it may cause us, Lord, to even have to repair some damage. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do what you have called us to do. And Lord, we just pray, God, right now that our hearts and our lives would align with your word, that our hearts and our lives, Lord, would align with your will. Lord, that we, Lord, would not be in a position, God, where we have to have regret and deal with the consequences, Lord, of our compromise. We know that the situation with Hagar and Ishmael caused years and even to this day of tragedy and heartache and pain. So, Lord, we pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to not go down that path. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are the God of restoration. And whoever has compromised here today, Lord, we ask that you would restore, Lord, in such a way, God, that they fully inherit their promise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you all. Have a great day. Do you have something, Glenn? Oh, okay, that Glenn does. He always does. Okay.